Can we all stand up to our feet one more time? Guys in the back, can you guys put up Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6, verse 17 says this. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went from him and healed them all. Does anybody here need a touch from God? Who here needs to be healed? Or even if you know someone who you know needs to be healed, and you can intercede for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see all the hands here, Lord. We don't want church to be a church service, God, but we want church to be an encounter with the living God. We want church to be an encounter that in the same way people sought Jesus to hear his word and to be healed. And Lord, let that be us this morning, that we are here to hear your word and to be healed, God. So in the name of Jesus, we declare your healing power over our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we plead your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, those that we love, those that we care about, but above all, Lord, those that you love and you care about, that you will heal them right now. In the name of Jesus, this is our faith, God, that you are our healer. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. You guys can take your seats. I've been meditating on this word for a couple of days now, and it's the more I meditate on it, the more I actually, guys in the back, you guys can take off the pad for right now. We'll bring it back at the end of service, I think. So I've been meditating on this word for the past couple of days, and it got more and more intense. So this might be a very, very intense word for the beginning of the year, but thank you. But it might be exactly the word that we need to start off the year right. My belief is that this will be the best Sunday of the year so far. I mean, it's the only Sunday of the year so far. But it will be the best so far. I guarantee that. If you're taking notes, the sermon title today is titled, But I Say. So in this same chapter, chapter 6 of Luke, Jesus comes down from the mountain. Jesus had been up in the mountain for a long time. He was there all night praying which disciples he would choose. And the Bible literally says that Jesus was up all night. Everyone say all night. Every time I read that, I'm convicted because I'm like, man, when was the last time I stayed up all night praying? Like, never. I don't think I've ever stayed up all night praying. Anybody here? But I don't know, sometimes when you're maybe desperate enough for a touch of God, you'll stay up all night. Jesus was choosing his 12 disciples. That's a pretty big deal. Like, it's like the 12 disciples, you know. You made it, they all made it in the painting, you know? It was a big deal. I don't know. I think God likes to hide things in him, not because he doesn't want us to find it, but because he wants us to look for it. There's a big difference. So today's sermon title is But I Say, and the point of today's sermon is, if Jesus doesn't have the last word in our life, then we don't know his word. I want to say it again. If Jesus doesn't have the last word in our life, then we don't know his word. So Luke chapter 6, so this is after he's been praying up in the mountain. He comes down and then he heals them all, as we just read. And then it goes on in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Anyone here experienced that lately? Where people are, just because you come to church, because you're a Christian, because you choose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now people see you differently, talk to you differently. They exclude you. They revile you. Here's what the Bible says, that the cross is an offense. And sometimes us following Jesus will offend people. Jesus goes on to say, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." I hate using this analogy. But I'm going to use it because I feel like there's a point that needs to be driven across. Here Jesus says, you know, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." Everyone say in heaven. One of the thoughts that I want to present to you for this year is to be kingdom-minded. I'm going to say kingdom-minded. And many times we're afraid to pursue Jesus with everything that we have. And I'm not talking about your prayer closet. I'm not talking about coming to church, because it's easy to be a Christian in your prayer closet. Let's face it. It's not hard, right? That when you're praying, it's just you and God. It's not like you struggle, right? When you're here in church, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed worship and we sing some songs and you're here. And no one here is, you know, hating your brother or like beating. You guys aren't beating each other up. That's what I'm trying to say, all right? We're in church and we're good. You guys good? We're good. It's not hard per se to be a Christian in church. But when you're at Starbucks and you see someone with a cast, or you see someone that doesn't have enough money to pay for their coffee, that's where the real challenge comes of, are you going to be a Christian or not? Because if Jesus says pay for their coffee, or Jesus says go up to them and ask them if they want to be healed, guys, that's awkward. That is weird. I'm not going to get by it. That is weird and it is awkward. But if I said this, and I'm sorry. I have to go there. If you were at Starbucks and there was someone with a cast, and I said, hey, if you go up to them, ask them if they want to be healed. Ask them if they want to be healed. Pray for healing. And if you do that, I'm going to give you $1 million. Don't raise your hand, but I know your answer. If I told you that, go to Starbucks, find someone, pray for them for healing, I'll give you $1 million. I'm sure every single person here. See, it wouldn't matter what happened, because the reward is worth it. Right? When you have the reward in mind, it doesn't matter what you have to do, because, man, that reward is worth it. Would that reward be worth it? And here's what God is, here's what Jesus is saying. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Why? When they revile you, when they exclude you, when they say evil things about you. For indeed, your reward is great in heaven. And we have a very short-sighted perspective. We are not eternally minded. And it's a good example, right? $1 million. But guys, what is $1 million compared to pleasing the Lord? What is $1 million compared to blessing him and obeying him and being a true son and daughter of the living King? Hopefully I'm not shaking you up too bad. But we are called to obey Jesus. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we're called to obey. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. One of the things that God put on my heart for today is, it might be one of you, it might be some of you, it might be all of you. But my belief is that there's things in 2000. Wow, turn into a toddler. 2000. Actually, my mouth is just dry. Candace was making fun of me because she said I swallow really loud. And if you watch Daily Hope, there's a mic right here. And so when I have to drink coffee, all yours. Well, I don't know if you can do it. Anyways, not right now. Not the point. We're getting distracted. In 2021, there are things that need to stay there. And as we begin this new year, I'm going to say some things, and I'm going to quote some scripture with the intent that there's people we need to forgive. There's things we need to let go of. We cannot live another year in bitterness or in unforgiveness. We cannot live another year questioning or harboring. I'll put it this way. We're not called to hold on to what God has not called us to hold on to. Does that make sense? We're not called to carry. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you feel burdened or heavy or stressed, that's not something that God put on you. If anything, that's something that Jesus is trying to trade with you. Amen? But I say to you who hear, and I hope you guys are the ones who are not only here, but that you hear. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Man, the word will speak for itself. Verse 9, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. In context, especially because, you know, people get all tripped up. It was like, well, if someone hits me, I can't hit them back. It's not what Jesus is saying. Like, that's not, because people go to that, right? They go to the, like, well, we can't defend ourselves. That's not what he's saying. Obviously, if you're in harm and something's happening, you have a right to defend yourself. But what he's talking about is the posture of your heart. I'll say it this way, and we use it, right? Jesus says if someone strikes you or someone slaps you in the face, right? Someone can slap you in the face and not even touch you, right? It's like, man, that person did that, and that was a slap in the face, right? Could it be physical? Yes, it could be physical, but that's not the point he's talking about. He's talking about a different posture of the heart. Whereas someone does something wrong to you, or someone takes advantage of you, or someone takes from you, you go to a higher level and say, whoa, whoa, you're not going to take anything from me. I'm gonna give to you. I'm going to bless you. And let me tell you something. That's one of the best ways to cure offense, is that when the offense comes, you bless. And your heart changes because you're choosing to do what's good and godly rather than to hold on to what God has not called you to hold on to. That is the best way to heal from unforgiveness, is to bless, to pray. Jesus said it, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. This will set you free from people's comments. This will set you free from people's opinions. This will set you free from whatever people say or do to you when you always respond in love. We read it in 1 John last week. where where First John, where the Apostle John is praying, he's saying, I wish and I want that for you to be completely satisfied with God's love. If you are overflowing with the presence of God, if you are overflowing with the Spirit of God, if you're overflowing with the Word and the love of God, there's no room for offense. There's no room for hate. There's no room for insecurity. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for fear. There's no room for lack because you're so filled with Him. And that is who God is. God is, He's Jesus told the woman at the well, I am the living water. And here's the thing about water. No matter where water goes, water will always go to the deepest part. It will always go to the lowest part. Right? You've never seen a river flowing upstream, right? The current's going upstream. No, water is always going down to the lowest place. And many times, this harboring unforgiveness. And I'll even say this, even harboring unforgiveness towards yourself. You feel guilty for something you said or you did. And sometimes it's not even in something that's open. Sometimes it's really, really in there. Sometimes it's so deep that you don't even know it's there. But you walk around with a heaviness. You walk around with just something that's just always bothering you. Something's always looming. And I feel like the Holy Spirit this morning will, through His Word, His water, will just go to those deepest parts and bring healing. Amen. Amen. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. What's Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying? We have to look different. Verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. There's no better rewarder than God. There's no better rewarder than the one who created you. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. He's not changing. He is a rewarder. Hebrews says that you must believe. You must believe. You must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Verse 35 again, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. See, it makes sense to us when we talk in terms of money, doesn't it? But it needs to make sense to us in terms of who God is. See, what better reward is there? I'll say this. Money can't buy you peace. Money can't buy you healing. There's no amount of money in the world that will cause you to forgive someone. That needs to come from you and the Spirit of God in you. Amen? And so as we obey the Bible, as we obey Jesus, when He says love your enemies, when He says do good, when He says lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. What better reward is than His presence and His love? What better reward is there than that? And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Verse 36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. See, which one of us haven't sinned? Which one of us hasn't done something that you really regretted, that you really, really feel bad for? And yet God was still merciful. He still loves you. He still accepted you as a son. He still forgave you. He still healed you and cleaned you up. Because that's who he is. God doesn't change according to who we are. We change according to who he is. Amen? Luke chapter 17. We are loving the book of Luke today. Verses 3-10. I'm actually reading this passage out of the NLT. So you guys can just turn to the screens. Jesus says, "So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive." I'm going to let that one sink in for a moment. The apostle said to the Lord, "Show us how to increase our faith." In other words, Jesus, you're asking for too much. If 7 times in a day someone sins against me, someone offends me, you want me to just let it go as nothing happened? And here's the culture of that day. He says it earlier. He says, "You have heard it said, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye," right? "Whatever you do to me, then I have the right to do it back." That was the culture. That's what they were used to. And so Jesus is saying, let it go. Forgive. He's echoing what he said earlier. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful, right? Show us how to increase our faith. The apostles are saying this because it is not an easy thing. And if we were honest with ourselves, maybe it's not an easy thing for us either. Whether it's with your spouse or your children or your parents, maybe a certain coworker, maybe a sister, maybe a brother, or they've just offended you and they continue to offend you. But like I'm saying, God is not calling us to hold on to something that he does not want to, that he doesn't want us to carry. The Lord answered, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted,'" we'll stay right here, "'may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would obey you.'" Jesus is saying, you already have the faith. You already have the faith. You already have his word. And his, guys, the word of God is enough. The word of God itself has the power for you to say, "Lord, you told me to forgive my enemies. You told me to love my enemies. Help me." That is enough. That's all God needs, is an open heart and that mustard seed of faith. And here's an interesting part. Jesus answered, "If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed." Here's the thing about a mustard seed. You got to think about it in the context of their time. A mustard seed was a tiny, everyone say tiny. It was a tiny seed. But when Jesus in this time said tiny seed, tiny mustard seed, what the apostles heard was tiny seed, huge tree. In that time, the mustard tree was one of the biggest trees that they had around. Tiny seed grows into a huge tree. I love the testimony of my wife that she's shared publicly, but for 10 years, she did not speak to her father. And I remember it was about 2 years ago, February? Oh, man. About 2 years ago, I was right there. We were in the car, we were going to go get some Chinese food. And she was sitting in the car and she was just like, not there. And I'm like, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, you guys know, right? When you know something's wrong and they say nothing's wrong, And then you get scared. Because now you're thinking, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Am I the only one who's been there? We've been married 5 months. It happens. And she said, I feel like the Lord is asking me to forgive my father, and I don't want to do it. And I saw, I saw it was a battle, it was a struggle, but God was faithfully working on her heart. And all that took was God said it, and then he said it, and like that faith began to build in her that she could, because in the beginning, she could not believe she can do it, right? She literally couldn't believe. She's like, I know what God's telling me to do, but I don't believe I can do it. But God spoke, and that it was just the seed. And then someone else told her about it. And then God just started working on her. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And soon enough, her faith grew more than her unforgiveness. And now her father is her best friend. Literally. You know, he was here for our wedding, which is amazing. He loves me. That's nice, too. We get along very well.
I just remember being here at church, and I said to the Lord, God, you can have everything in my life. Just don't touch that one. Leave that for me. Because I felt like I was completely justified in not having a relationship with my dad. Like, he deserved it. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. And everybody here was sowing seeds of, like, you have to. If you're not going to forgive, then the same, the what you measure it is how it's going to be measured unto you. And I found that so unfair, because I was like, that's not fair. Like, I'm here at church, I'm doing my thing, I'm like, I'm living for the Lord. I just told God, just don't touch that, leave that alone. And he kept poking me, and I have to say, I did not do it on my own strength. I did not want to do it. I resisted for a very long time. Until one day, he spoke to me so clearly that it just broke every chain that I had, that I put on myself. Amen?
Mustard seed. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree. Now, when Jesus says mulberry tree, again, contextually, we think it's just a random tree, but in that time, they hear something else. The mulberry tree was also a big tree, but it was a very hard tree. It was really good wood, really hard wood, I should say. The mulberry tree was used to make caskets. So when Jesus says mulberry tree, in that time, they knew, oh, that's the tree we use to bury the dead. See, Jesus doesn't say specific tree. He could have just said, you can say it's this tree. But no, he says mulberry tree. Because he's giving them a word picture. Faith, the size of a mustard seed, can grow into something beautiful. Unforgiveness, if it's not unrooted, will lead to your demise. Guys, you can't be in relationship with God and be stagnant. You're either progressing to look more like him, or sin is taking you away from his presence. There is no in between. So either your mustard seed of faith is growing into a beautiful tree, or there's a mulberry tree that's slowly growing equally as big that's leading to your death. This is good, isn't it? Guys, at the end of this, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to break some chains this morning. Amen. I'm believing that for many of you, that this is the best day of your life, because you're going to start this year off with this peace and this lightness and just, man, I'm letting go of the things that people have done to me. Yeah. It's these weights, Paul says. Paul says weights and sins, because unforgiveness is a sin. It's these weights and these sins that easily ensnare us. Where are we? If you had faith even as a small mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Amen. One more scripture. No matter what you feel that people have done to you, it's really nothing in comparison of what was done to Jesus. It's really not. Jesus was not only betrayed by one of his closest friends, by Judas, but every single church leader, well, not every single, there's a couple that were, that, you know, believed in Jesus, amen. But for the at that point, for the his friend Judas, not only that, but all the other 10, well, 11 including Judas, as Jesus is being taken away to be crucified, they leave him too. Only John the beloved stayed with Jesus. And then for the whole church to turn against him and try him for literally nothing. And then for the rulers of that time, Pilate, the high priests, to now bind him up and declare him to be whipped, the crown of thorns, his beard ripped out, and then finally crucified. Guys, this actually happened. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something that was made up. Through one man, sin entered the world, Adam. Jesus, known as the second Adam, through one man, salvation came. But it came at a cost. Because see, sin leads to death. And Jesus took that punishment on the cross. And in the midst of everyone around him, betraying him, beating him, spitting on his face, ridiculing him, he says this, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. You guys know it. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. This is the heart of God. And as Jesus intercedes for all of us, this is what he's saying. When we sin and we mess up, sorry, not when, if we sin and if we mess up, we can come to Jesus and he says, I'm going to forgive you because you didn't know what you were doing. Because many times, if we really knew the consequences of our sin, man, we wouldn't have done it in the first place. If we knew the consequences of drinking too much, of smoking too much, of talking to that girl too much, of working too much, of, you know, whatever it may be, man, if you knew the true cost of sin, you wouldn't have done it. And God, in his graciousness, says, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they do. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Man, we're going to make a bold declaration this morning. My belief this morning is that some of us are looking, praying, seeking, reaching to be free from this unforgiveness. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit a moment to just minister to us right now. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, minister to your people, God. Lift up our hands, say, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love. Come on, just start saying, Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We will start this year worshiping and praising you. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. You guys are dismissed. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. for Daily Hope. Oh, sorry. Esperanza tonight at 6 p.m. Oh, sorry. People are our heart. Generosity is our opportunity. Excellence is our spirit. Smiling is our favorite. And Jesus is our Lord. Amen. If you guys need prayer, we'll be up here.